Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. What can the Cowboys fix during the bye week, or is it a lost cause? And, you know, one of the things I continue to think back about is just an hour or so ago, Mickey talking about, like, you don't have 2 weeks. You have 1 week. The players are off right now. And you can hope that all the players are doing this, that, and the other, but you're not seeing them every day. And so it's not just about the Cowboys, but I do kind of wonder now how much people really get better during their bye week.
Yeah, because I remember when Bill Parcells was here, he was like, man, the bye week is like, I wish I could remember the term, sailors at the harbor or whatever.
Shore leave?
Yeah, shore leave. He was like, it's like that. And I tried not to let it be like that, yeah. But like, you really don't know. Once you let those guys go, you don't know what they're going to do. I think guys like, I'm not sure, Mike, I think guys like Dak and maybe CeeDee Lamb probably are working on their bodies, trying to make sure their body's right for the week and making, you know, looking at film and stuff. I think that, because I feel like Dak is kind of obsessive with some of the stuff that he wants to be.
In a good way, yeah.
Yeah, in a good way. I think the guys like Micah, probably he's doing his podcast, but he's also trying to make sure he gets his rehab done. So that's where I kind of get concerned. Is Micah going to be ready whenever he gets back? Or is he just going to be rehabbed when he gets back? But the other guys, do they just take it as a mental break? And then, you know, they're like, okay, I just got to get away from it. Or how else do they treat it? I don't know exactly what these guys do in this week off that they have.
I'm going to ask a question based off this instead of saying what can be improved right now.
Okay.
Do you believe the Cowboys can mentally come back ready to play good football the rest of the season? With what just happened yesterday here on our station, with how they've been blown out somewhat in their three losses. I get they kind of came back against Baltimore and made it competitive in the end. But they have to be, I'm just throwing out my opinion now, mentally shot. And I don't know if they believe that this is going to be a good team.
Okay, that's something that concerns me. Because the part of believing your coaches have solutions for you, I mean, just think about your everyday work. If something's not going right at work,
yeah,
and you look to your boss and your boss is like, I don't have any answers.
Yeah.
You're like, well, what the hell am I supposed to do? I got to go draw the plays up myself now. And so I do wonder if they're coming back from that going, hey, coach, do you have answers? Well, McCarthy sent them away and said, you need to answer some questions yourself. How much do you want this? And if they take that seriously, some guys are probably looking around going, man, I might need to have a new job next year. There might be coaches right now that are looking around going, I might need to have a new job next year, and probably having that bi-week conversation with their agents. There are other guys that they're here, they're signed for a few years, and they're all committed to let's go do this thing. So I am concerned, Mike, about the players' belief that when they get back, the coaches will have some answers for what they need, other than we just have to be a bit more talented team. Jerry's saying that there's nobody from the outside is going to help. We're not making any trades to make moves. That's the creativity of the front office that you're asking for. Hey, man, Davante Adams just went to a team that wants to be, that Aaron Rodgers says is all in. Amari Cooper just got traded. There are teams out there that are making moves. I mean, Cam Akers just gets traded. Those things are happening. So it's that when we see the Rangers do that, don't we always feel like it's a shot in the arm to the team? They added somebody. Our front office believes in us. They believe we can do it. And let's go out and prove them right. So I wonder if they're walking back into the doors and they're going, we think we can. We just got to fix some things.
Okay. That's where I get a little conflicted. It's a great question. And I look at my face because I'm like, I don't know the answer to that question. So that's what I'm trying to figure out, Corey. And I know it's tough because we're not going to be able to dive into the psyche of every single one of these players. Do they believe...
Especially because we're not football guys.
That's true. Do they believe that the Jones family believes in them, or...
Which the Jones family has consistently said they believe in that room.
So, those are football guys.
Absolutely. Do they believe...
They all sat the bench at Arkansas.
Do they believe that's why they believe in them? Because they're like, no, we got the right people. We can do this. Or do you think they're like, Man, the cap hit for Dak next year is $89 million. I might be taking a $16 million hit with Zach Martin. I need to carry over my cap space. That's why I'm not trading for anybody. I need to protect my draft assets. That's why I'm not trading for anybody. I'm not trading for anybody or doing anything because I can't afford it in future years. So my default answer is I believe in our guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I can't figure out because...
And Jerry's never... Whether you can say to his credit or not, he's never given up on a season.
No,
they can
he doesn't.
They can be 1-5 at a trade deadline. They can be 3-3 and look like crap at this trade deadline. Because really, I said this yesterday, Kevin, the right thing to do right now, and it doesn't help with DeMarcus Lawrence's foot or Zach Martin or name the players that you don't think are going to be impactful in 2025, 26, and 27. Eric Kendricks.
Yes.
Start naming players. You should be trying to trade. You should be in the Cleveland Browns situation. You should be looking at this team going, if all we can do is draft, that's the only way we can add to this team. Well, then we need to get, we're going to try to get 12 to 14 picks per year. And if that's the case, and as you look at the players that you're probably not going to use in the future, you need to trade all of them as they get close to free agency so that you can have 12 picks every year to try to help your team out.
Look, and I agree with you on that. I think the issue that we continue to run into, well, first of all, we don't get to make any of these decisions, but also our definition of if this season is worth fighting for is probably a lot different than the ownership, right? Like, to me, I'm thinking, do you have a chance? Not to say that you're the favorite or anything like that, but do you have a legit chance to make it to the playoffs, make some noise, and then just see what happens? Because right now, it feels impossible to say yes.
Why?
Like, I'm not saying that can't change.
But why? You're 3-3. You're not out of the hunt in your own division.
I'm with Corey. They're a little bit in the Texas Rangers trade deadline situation where it's like, we're not good. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
The Rangers knew they weren't good, but they weren't really bad. And their record and where they were at in their division suggested Houston's not very good. Seattle's not very good. Could we just sneak into this thing and get lucky? And I think the Cowboys have to look at right now. The NFC sucks. The whole thing.
Sure.
Minnesota, you can't be really threatened by them if you have to play them in a playoff game right
just
now.
Just wait until tomorrow.
I know, and maybe so. But Detroit just had a major injury.
Yep.
That, like, Micah Parsons is coming back. Aiden Hutchinson, I know they're saying he's coming back, but that's going to be
very unlikely.
Tough. So you just San Francisco is not good this year. Now, they could change your mind next Sunday and go, well, crap, we can't compete with them. But I think right now the Cowboys, and I think they should trade, but this goes to Bobby Belton me during late July.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, like, do you get? I understand they're not good. Everybody knows the Cowboys aren't good. Every human that's not Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones knows the Cowboys aren't good. But maybe they could sneak into the playoffs, and maybe for the first time in his life, Dak Prescott could actually play good in January.
The line that I kind of asked that question on too is, and this was the same with the Rangers. You are what your record says you are.
Yeah,
you're a 3-3 team that's going into the bye with 11 games left in the season now. So, like, if you're looking at that, you're going, okay, I'm not out of it. So when I'm out of it, then I'll make a decision there. But I'm not out of it right now. The thing that being 3-3 doesn't take into account, you are what your record says you are, is the outcome of each individual game. And each one of those individual games has such a different and dramatically different story. The story of the Giants game is very uniquely different. You could have lost that game late in that game.
Sure.
Very easily. Sure. But you beat the Giants. You got thumped by a team that looks like they might go to the Super Bowl. You got thumped by a team that hasn't won another game since they've beaten you, too. And so that's where
that one hurts.
Each one of those games individually for you and for me and for other fans out there, because I have been a lifelong fan of this team first and foremost. The individual games make you feel like it's too much to overcome, like you're too far underwater to do. But then you look at the record and you're like, okay, 3-3. Are these games really what we are? That's where the real breakdown of understanding your team. Chris Young, I can't decide if he knew his team was bad or if he was like, at some point, I mean, the World Series changed. That playoff run changed everything about what we thought that team was at the end of the year.
Yes.
So, like, in his mind, he must have gone, at some point, the light's going to flip on for him. But sometimes you have to be the one that flips the light on for your team. And sometimes a big move, a dramatic move, flips that light on.
And that's, I'm with you, but they're...
But I see what Mike's point of trading away is, too.
And that's why, this is the reason why I think I'm with that decision. You already have a whole foot in next season. You know, like, we're all in. Both of our feet are in this season. No, they're not. You are carrying over about $24 million in salary cap space because you know Dak has a massive salary cap hit next year. Now I realize they'll flip the switches and it'll go down and everything like that, but it's still a big hit. You're preparing that maybe Zach Martin won't be here. You're preparing to pay Micah Parsons. You're getting all of this stuff ready. That's why it is still shocking to me that the answer wouldn't be, oh, are you going to do something at the trade deadline? It's tough to say because we still have a ways to go and we need to know more about what's going to be available, blah, blah, blah. He just said no.
Yeah, he doesn't want to... Look, nothing's happening with the coaching staff.
Yes.
Stephen Jones said that on Monday. Nothing's happening with those. He doesn't want any uncertainty in there because if he said what you just said, uncertainty. But right now, he's like, no, we have a direction. That's what he's trying to get across.
Yeah.
Although nobody agrees with him.
Yeah. And I think that direction is misguided. If you're going to say this far out from the trade deadline or multiple weeks from the trade deadline, we're not doing anything. Well, what if they're like, hey, Cooper Kupp's available for a conditional sixth? Like, are you still like, oh, we like our guys? That doesn't make any sense because they're preparing for next year. They've been resetting their salary cap books for a couple of years now. We've talked about that a lot. That's why I would go along with that because you're already looking forward to 25, 26, whatever. They don't have to admit it. I'm telling you, it is happening. Yeah. That's why I would.
And Jerry's proven he will never pay the rest of his life for a free agent. And really, it might be Steven behind the scenes who's saying, we will never pay for agent the rest of my life. And if that's the case, Steven's probably living 40 more years. Maybe not that. I don't know how old he is, 50-something, so maybe he won't live 40 more years. But like, you have to look at the next 30 years, the Cowboys will not do free agency.
Yeah.
So if you won't do it, then it's only based off of the draft, which would mean I need more draft picks than other teams. If other teams are going to find a way to sign, I don't know, you name the free agent, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I know that we're not supposed to say that word, but if... We know that Baltimore's paying a crap ton of money for their quarterback and stuff like that, but they are willing to do it because they fell short again in the playoffs and they got to figure out another way how to beat Kansas City or beat whoever's in the playoffs that's up against them. Well, they're going to use this asset. They're going to use this thing called free agency and they're going to use it. Well, if your team's like, we're never going to use it the rest of our lives. We're only going to, and nothing against Eric Kendricks. I'm using him as an example. Good free agent signing at the C level, right?
Yes.
We let the A level play out. We let the B level play out. Then we look at the C's and D's. Well, all right, if you're going to do that, then that means you cannot live in the world of 7 to 8 draft picks a year. You have to live into the world of 12 draft picks a year to give yourself a chance to replenish your depth and do what you need to do. And then you have to be willing to let go. And not just let go, trade some of your players that you're thinking about signing in the future going, no, we do this only through the draft. And if we're doing it only through the draft, I need more draft picks. I don't need to sign Trayvon Diggs to a long-term contract. I need to trade him the year before he becomes a free agent so I can get more assets I can use.
And then if you're really doing a hard reset, you don't have to flip the switches on all of these contracts. You can go ahead and take some of the salary cap hits, knowing the bigger picture of what you're doing. But I understand, don't have time for
you
a bad
time. You got a party in March, man. There's spring break, and there's a lot of people to party with. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and so that's why I'm frustrated about the Cowboys. To your original point, Corey, the reason why I'm frustrated right now is because I thought about it in the basketball terms, and I know we'll get to the Mavs in just a minute, but you always hear Jason Kidd or back in the day, Rick Carlisle or, whoever, when you had like those 3 days off, oh, it was gold because then you could practice and you could try to do something to like click it better, a little better together. And in this bye week, you have each individual person or people on the, who want to get together with their teammates or whatever. And it's all mental, not just for the Cowboys, for all teams. And so I don't know. I just don't know how much I think they can actually improve because by the time they get back on the field, it's going to be like, are you ready for San Francisco?
They're here. I will say I wrote 4 things down. Effort in practice can be fixed. That's something that Jimmy Johnson, that's something that
a former coach
has said.
Listen to the beginning of the show.
Change. coaching creativity can change.
Can I ask you a quick question about that? And this might be a segment for another day. I swear, I know I go on a rant here and there for scheduling purposes about Mike McCarthy not being to his press conference on time. But then when I was gone, I saw a story circulating about how he was like 52 minutes late for his presser on Monday.
Oh, really?
So
it was supposed to be at 2:30. That's
right. Some people might not think this is a big deal, but one of the things that always goes through my mind is he continually talks about we got to get back to the details in our practices. That I'm always like, you can't it's even get on detail. Time to your own press conference. Like, but you're the detail guy?
Yeah.
I'm trusting you to be the detail guy?
Effort, creativity, urgency, and the admission that you're old and slow right now. Like, that's what this team looks like at the moment.
It really does. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, after checking in on the Mavs preseason game, how do you think this thing will look this season? Plus, if you want, I have some player rankings. Next, right here on The Fan.
And a block out by Quentin Grimes. Nice pass ahead to Spencer Dinwiddie. Leaves the ball for Grimes. Drives baseline. Inside to Daniel Gafford. Blocked by Kai Jones, but then back up with a basket shaker.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's talk some hoops. Now, this can go in a variety of different directions, but first I wanted to throw out this NFL note for you. This is going to be shocking, but it looks like Davante Adams' hamstring has healed, so he can play for the Jets. I know he had contractitis with his hamstring before, but now that he's been traded, miraculously, it looks like he's good to go.
That's wonderful for him and really Aaron Rodgers. There's going to be a moment, though, I still think that both he and Aaron Rodgers look at each other and go, you're not the dude I remember. I think that's going to happen. At some point.
Who says it first?
It's got to be Devontae, right? It'll be
okay,
Rodgers. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Devontae did have that feeling in Vegas, but I think Rodgers is the first one to point a finger.
Brian Robinson is going to be practicing today for the Washingtons, and then Malik Nabers has made progress. He'll practice in a red jersey today for the Giants. Sorry, I forgot to mention that earlier. All right, Mavericks, where do you want to start this at, Corey?
Well, I think I want to start, Mike, I'm sorry, with Doc Rivers saying that Chris Middleton did not practice and will not play in tomorrow's game against Dallas.
Oh, my gosh. Game. So
it's Aggie.
It's the preseason finale.
It's a preseason game.
I don't know, man. Those are important, too.
And Giannis is coming to Dallas.
Yeah, so there you go.
No, I mean,
where's the game at?
Okay, but I felt like the implication you were making.
Yeah, that's what happens when you assume.
That's
Kevin.
A fair point. Yep. That is a very fair point.
Let's let Mike take this.
I
away.
I apologize. Then.
I do want to take it to this as watching. I watched the first half of the Clippers Mavs preseason game, and I heard Sean and RJ and Bobby talking about this. It might have been before the interview with Jerry Jones before everything became somewhat about the Cowboys and Jerry Jones. Is Klay Thompson was 0-9 in the game in his 21 minutes. He has struggled in preseason basketball so far, and I think people are, and Maverick fans I'm seeing kind of on social media, are very concerned that you got a washed up, totally finished, the Ezekiel Elliott of basketball player.
And you know, it's funny. I was actually thinking kind of in a way Aaron Rodgers. Now, I realize the outside impact that the quarterback can make, but some people were nervous about what Aaron Rodgers had left before it even started. So I get that.
So here's where I want to go with this. I understand preseason basketball is all you have right now to go off of. But I don't know how good or bad Klay Thompson's going to be for the Dallas Mavericks, but he did average last year 18 points a game. I don't think that he's going to go to 4 points a game on 12% shooting.
Yeah.
Like I don't think that, but I understand the concern. Watching him, he is not the Klay Thompson you remember for a decade on a dynasty team.
But he never was going to be, right?
No, and after the injuries, you can tell he's a little bit different, and he's 34 years old. He's not going to be getting really much better. You know, you're hoping that he can stay at a pretty solid role-playing level. But I want to say, Maverick fans, and then we can talk and discuss about this, you have to remember, Klay Thompson has to work off of Steph Curry at this point in his career. Klay Thompson has to work off of Luka Doncic. He has to work off of Kyrie Irving. They have to draw the defender away from him. He still has a quick release. But watching that preseason game, he's working off of Jaden Hardy, not a point guard. He's working off of Spencer Dinwiddie, not a point guard. He's working off of some dude named Double Zero Dortmund, who he's not even going to make the team. Like, I don't even know who that person is, even though he had some nice moments. Not, if you're listening.
Well, then why are you already saying he's not on the team?
They already have 15 guys on the team.
There are a lot of names.
There's literally not a player.
We cut it down to 14, but okay.
But
I think it's Gortman.
Whatever his name is. But I think that Klay Thompson right now, in a way, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like, guys, Maverick fans are getting already too possibly discouraged or down on Klay Thompson in three preseason games.
With that in mind, then, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Klay Thompson will still be this season a top 100 player in the NBA?
You want to ask Corey first or me? Corey, go first.
Mike, go ahead, because I really have a hard time mapping out all 100, especially whenever it comes to the Mavs, because I think that there are people still in front of Klay on this list for the Mavs.
Yeah.
His lively Kyrie, Luka is what the three
reasonable.
That I would say
yeah,
I can
reasonable.
Guarantee. And after that, I just don't really know. But Mike has a really good beat on what the NBA is.
I will say he's going to be right at that 85 to 115 marker, which is very tough to rank. Does that make sense?
Yes. Is that off his name?
Well, I'm hoping that
a little bit.
Okay.
He contributes to a winning team. If this year the Mavericks win 55 to 60 games and Klay Thompson averages 15 points and 3 rebounds and 2 assists, I think he'll get consideration for a top 100 player because he was on such a great team. He's never going to be an all-star again. He's never going to be considered for an all-star team again. So like a top 40 player, no, not anywhere close. I just don't think he will. But if I look at him as a solid contributor, let me throw this name out. Totally different player. If he's our Al Horford.
I'm great with that.
I don't know where Al Horford, I'm going to be honest. I'm sure he's ranked in the top 100 still, but I'm sure it's kind of 75-ish to 90, but I don't know that for a fact. But like Al Horford's not the same player he was 5 years ago or 4 years ago. But I look at Klay Thompson and think he can still be a contributor, but he has to work off of superstar players.
Can I ask you, where do you think his highest rank ever has been?
Klay?
Yeah.
12?
Yeah, I was thinking 12
okay,
to 15.
But never top 10 guy. He's
maybe
fringy.
Got there.
Yeah.
But he was better as a pair with Steph. Like, yes. It was always those two together.
He was the best damn secondary option.
Yeah, there was no doubt. Okay. Steph was always. And I don't think he ever entered the category of Scottie Pippen, I think, in, let's say, 96 through 98. You could maybe have him as the fifth best player in the NBA.
Yeah, because talent was different. Gotcha. But Scottie was that good, too.
Yeah, so I think Klay was, hey, man, is he a top 10 player? Borderline. Like, I don't know. I'd have to look up. Did he ever make second team All-NBA?
I bet he did. I'll take a look at that. That's a good question.
But I think that's my number one thing for Mavs fans. Mavs fans, let's give Klay Thompson 10 regular season games before we decide he's JaVale McGee. Like, I think that I'm willing to give him. Just remember this. I'm going to throw this out here. In the month of April last year, there was 7 games for the Golden State Warriors he played in. He averaged 23 points on 50% shooting, 44% three-point shooting. That was in April last year in the regular season in 7 games where he averaged 30 minutes a game. I don't think he's going to average 23 points a game for the season. I don't think he's going to come close to averaging that for the Dallas Mavericks.
He doesn't need to either.
Right. But I do think he has the ability at 17.9 last year, and I know he did not have an efficient year shooting the ball from what we're used to Klay Thompson. I think he can average 15 points working off of Luka and Klay, or working off of Kyrie. We just have to. And then the other thing, too, is I don't know this. How much effort? I know that he feels like he's on a new team. He is on a new team. How much effort do you think a 34-year-old guy is giving in preseason basketball?
Yeah.
I think he's doing what he can to learn what is asked of him. I don't think he's trying to destroy anybody I don't think he's going to have as many people stuck to him. As he has,
people are sticking to it. At least that Clippers game I watched, I was like, I told Corey this yesterday, and now we're getting to the segment here today. I was like, Kevin, if they stick to him the way the Clippers stuck to, I hope they do. He'll only average 5 points a game.
But then you're going to leave destruction matchup-wise.
That means when he's standing in the corner, they will not help for Derek Lively and Gafford alley-oop dunks. Like, they will be the beneficiary of it. We're not leaving Clay no matter what. Also, when Luka drives, then the baseline guy will never help.
Yeah.
The weak side defense will never help because he's in the weak side corner. Great. Fine. Then Luka, Kyrie, and the centers are going to eat.
Now, Al Horford was 96 on this list.
So, yeah, around that.
Andrew Wiggins crossed my mind, too. Again, not saying they're the same player, just in terms of level of impact. But here's what's interesting for me. So this is ESPN's been putting this list out the last couple days. They'll have the top 10 tomorrow. Klay Thompson is number 71 on the list. He dropped from 41 last year to 71. I feel like if Klay Thompson is going to be the 71st best player in basketball this season, then you
sign me up.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
I'll absolutely take that.
Now, Corey, you mentioned the other three likely on the list. It feels
Lively.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Now that you know Klay is 71st, do you think Derek Lively is ahead of him?
No, but he will be at the end of this season.
Ooh, interesting. I agree with Mike that no, he's not there yet, but he should be.
Let me put him at 81.
Okay.
Just to throw out a number.
88.
Alvin Harper, Michael Irvin.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. The number 81 player on the list, Miles Turner. Number 88, Isaiah Hartenstein. Or Stein.
All right. He's better than both of those, in my opinion.
You think he's better than Miles Turner? I think he will be.
No.
Is he today better than Miles?
Hartenstein, I think, better, but not.
Yes,
not.
I'm with you on that. So I would put him between 81 and 88.
So you will find this interesting. He is number 56.
Holy cow!
Oh, my gosh.
On ESPN's list. Lively wasn't on the... Here's the blurb from Tim McMahon, I believe. Lively wasn't on this list a year ago when he was considered a raw project entering his rookie season. He quickly established himself as an essential part of the Mavs core. So 56, and that's about as high as I would have conceivably guessed. I'm not saying Derek Lively's not awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's not going to get awesomer, but that's a really high number.
That's higher than I could think.
That's right behind Jaren Jackson.
I like it.
I think they're adding to how much potential he has.
Agreed.
And what he was able to accomplish as a young 20-year-old in the playoffs.
We'll tackle that more in depth tomorrow, Mike, because I think you're really onto something there.
That's great news. I will say, watching the preseason game, it's only a preseason game, and it's one preseason game. Quentin Grimes looks like he might have more of an impact than I thought, and Najee Marshall might not have as big of an impact as I thought. It's a preseason game. I don't want to go off that. I'll go off the first 10 games, like give me 10 regular season games, and they're both playing without Luka.
Yeah.
We know how much Luka dominates the ball more than anybody in the history of the NBA. Like, that's a fact.
Yes.
I'm not making that up.
No,
he literally dominates the ball more than anybody in NBA history. So for me to say, oh, I know what Grimes is going to be off of a half of a preseason game, or I know what Najee Marshall is going to be, I'm just working off of what I saw for 24 basketball minutes. I think they both can contribute. They're both different. I do think the Mavs have tremendous depth this year. I really do. For the first time.
Tremendous usable depth is what I'm going to throw out there. Because I always feel like in the past, maybe we've trotted out some depth in terms of like, oh, sure, that looks great, but that guy's not going
to They're
going
to need to win some games without Luka and without Kyrie this
year. But there's going to be games where Dinwiddie or Hardy don't play a second because there's no minutes. Or Quentin Grimes doesn't play. Or Najee Marshall might not play. I don't know. There's going to be a player that a lot of teams would say, gosh, we could use that guy for 20 minutes a night. And for Jaden Hardy, there'd be teams in rebuilds that go, we want that guy for 30 minutes a night on our team. But he might not get in a few games here and there because the matchup, somebody's a hot hand or whatever. So I do think the Mavs have the depth. We'll see how much that is able to help Luka and Kyrie not have to play every game, or Klay Thompson not have to play every game. But I will say this, that game without Luka, without Kyrie, did get me excited for what we're, I think, about to see from the Dallas Mavericks. I think it's going to be a very fun year of basketball.
Got three more player questions for you. Where would you put Wemby, Kyrie, and our buddy Tyrese Maxey?
After you just said where Derek Lively is, I'm going to put Wemby not my list, but this list, I'm going to say he's number 20.
I'll say 12.
He's number 11.
Oh my god!
On the list, I have Victor Wembanyama as number 11 on this list.
Which higher than Brown. Victor Oladipo?
He's the second best Victor. Where's Jaylen Brown? Because I have like I
Victor
feel like
Conte
he should be
was
one.
Pretty big at one point.
Yes. Sport. Be that as it may, Jaylen Brown, number 14 on the list. So.
What?
Explain that look, because do you think...
Yeah, he just led a team to a championship.
Yeah, so you
think... He's the leader of that team.
Do you think it's silly that Jaylen Brown would be rated below Wemby?
Yes.
No shade against Wemby or anything
like
that.
I am, because I do think Wembanyama has a chance to be a top five player here very quickly. I don't know if it'll be after his second year, because can you have a guy... Let's just say they win 35 games,
yeah.
San Antonio... Can you have a guy as a top five player in the game if he leads his team to a 35-47 record?
Yeah, that is an interesting question. So, yeah, Jaylen Brown. And I believe I'm looking at this list. The top 10 comes out tomorrow. Jason Tatum's going to be in the top 10.
Can I ask you this? Is Jalen Brunson on the list
yet? Jalen Brunson is number 12.
Okay.
And so Tyrese Halliburton, by the way, number 16. I think he could go up a few spots.
You said Luka's out of the top 10?
Luka is in the top 10. My guess would be he's second.
Jokic?
Well, yeah, that would be my assumption. We'll find out more about that tomorrow.
Third?
I think so. And I'd
love to do right now, if we're trying to transition into Mike Likes It, who are your top five guys? But and you know, I haven't seen the list on, but who are the top five guys you think in order will be on this list tomorrow or Thursday or whatever?
Yeah. While you write that down, yeah. Kevin, I want to give you a quick anecdote or a quick story. I'm watching the starting five.
Oh, yeah.
And they're
at
the All-Star break, and LeBron's sitting on the bench, and Luka's sitting to his right, and then two spots over is Jokic, and Jokic leans back, and he goes, "Hey, do you remember your first game?" And Luka kind of starts leaning in to listen. And he goes, "Yeah, man, it was me and Wilt and Bob Cousy." And Luka just gets this look on his face, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And it was a really funny moment where LeBron was talking about how old he was.
That is top-notch right there. By the way, since I did ask, I just want to throw it out there. Tyrese Maxey, where would you guys maybe think about him and Kyrie?
If you have Halliburton at 16, you said?
25 for Tyrese.
21.
Yeah, and I think Halliburton is better than Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey, number 19.
Okay,
just ahead of Ja Morant.
Kyrie, 22?
Kyrie is 25. 22 is Kawhi, and it goes Kawhi, Dame, Banchero. That's somebody who has obviously been moving up in the world. And then Kyrie is 25. Last year, he was 34. So they've bumped him up on the list.
Yeah, a lot of young talent.
Yes, which is great for the NBA. And I'm just thinking out loud. I think, just off the top of my head, Jokic, Luka, Giannis, Embiid, KD, Curry, LeBron are all still yet to come. I'm going to think about it for just one more second. And
Did he make the list
Anthony
yet?
Davis is number 13.
Okay. Isn't that amazing that LeBron's going to be in the top 10, Anthony Davis is 13, and
they
can't
stink.
They cannot get out of the play-in situation. Did Devin Booker make the list yet?
Ooh, that's a good question. Devin Booker's 15. All right, here.
Okay.
Top 25, Kyrie, Paolo, Dame, Kawhi, Paul George. Then you get to number 20, Ja Morant, Maxey, Bam, Mitchell, and Halliburton. Top 15, Booker, Brown, Davis, Brunson, and Wemby. So that leaves us with, we'll get the final 10 tomorrow, and that will include Jokic, Luka, Giannis, Embiid, Steph, Tatum, KD, and LeBron. And then I'm going to think for just one more second and come up with the other two.
I gave you plenty of time with the
story. I'm sorry, but I was involved in the conversation at the same time.
Yeah, you got
probably Westbrook.
There was a time.
There was a time. He never knows the time on the clock, but there is a time, or was a time.
Oh, yeah, Shea. Shea will be in the top 10.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Thank you.
He seems pretty good.
Isn't that amazing how, and he might be the MVP. Name Anthony Edwards.
That might change. Change your order a little bit, too, if you had an order in mind already.
Yeah, so just perusing this, it feels like the top 10 in no particular order will be Ant, Shea, LeBron, KD, Tatum, Steph, Embiid, Giannis, Luka, Jokic. Would be, I think.
Where's Dwight Powell?
He does not make the cut. I'm very sorry to let you
number
know.
Number one in your heart, though.
Number one in your heart?
I use him as an example to kids. Like, you do not have to be good at your sport if you are just like a great teammate.
Being a good teammate's important.
He has made a lot of money being a good teammate and a hard worker.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time for Mike Likes It.
All right, guys. So based off of Jerry Jones's rant yesterday, where he obviously got upset with his team not playing well and took it out on what he, I guess, thinks are his employees. But
I guess
like Sean
I
said, and RJ and Bobby and Peyton.
I'll be honest. I'll change exactly what I say about the Jones family if they start paying me money. But they have not paid me a dime.
Hell yeah!
Less than $300 for my 11 hours of post game work was like, you know, something, and that's before taxes. Just being honest. If you don't want to know, like,
I know.
I don't even. And I'll be honest. I think still, whoever we were owned by back then paid me the money. I don't think I got a paycheck from the Cowboys.
I believe that is probably correct.
For that 300 whole bucks. all right. So it's the facts. That's why I didn't want to do it.
I didn't dispute that they're the facts.
I am just listening to Mike Likes It. That's all I'm doing.
All right. So when it comes to the other teams versus the Dallas Cowboys here, it is still even hard to fathom that since the year 2000, the Cowboys have not been in an NFC championship game. Heck, they've only been close a few times. There's only been a few times in our life we could say, if they win this game, they're going to the NFC championship game.
Obviously, 07, 16 jumped to mind pretty straight away.
Yeah.
But there's not, it's
there's not,
not
been, even many
right.
times where they've even put themselves in a position where you're like, you're if they win this game, they're going to the NFC championship game. It's few and far between. Yet, the Texas Rangers have been to 3 World Series.
That is amazing.
Like, think about
that
like
is weird.
The Rangers, our little Rangers weird, that, you know, not taking a shot at them, but like nobody really cares about the Texas Rangers besides us Texas Ranger fans.
They were a farm team for most of our lives.
Yeah. And just thought of as like, if they just make the playoffs, that is the most spectacular thing ever. And yet from 2000 to 2024, obviously they can't make it this year, is they've been to 3 World Series. The Dallas Mavericks have been to 3 NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Now, both teams are 1-2 in those situations. Like, they've won one championship, and then they've been in the championship and lost the series.
But that it means that they at least won 3 conference finals or championship series to get there.
And look,
they were there for them.
I do take shots at Jerry, which I've been told don't, but like Jerry's a manipulator. That's what he's great at. That's one of the things that he's an unbelievable owner, but he's good at that part of it. And here's a major manipulation he did yesterday to try to get fans on his side as he's bullying Sean and RJ and Bobby, is what do you think the 31 other teams are thinking? They didn't win it. There's only one winner a year. Now I ask you guys this, and you can join in on YouTube or you know, whatever our text
Twitch
thing is.
Fan text.
Yeah. Is
really feel like you should know that by now.
How do you guys feel? We just discussed the Mavericks losing. They didn't win the championship last year. Jerry wants to manipulate you and us into believing if you make the playoffs and lose in the first round or make the NBA Finals or World Series, it's exactly the same as being the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Dallas Mavericks or the Dallas Cowboys.
I so disagree with that. It bothers me every single time that they say that.
Do the Stars go every like to the Cup every 4 years or so? Is that what it feels like? We get that opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, because so they've also...
From 2000 to 2024.
3 Cup Finals? Okay.
Is it 3?
Yeah, I believe...
I know it's 2 for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to... Yeah, we lost against the Devil. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I'll never forget
COVID
that
year Tampa, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's just... I get so frustrated when I hear them say that because it distills everything down to one thing that is not accurate of the argument that I think people are making. And it would be like if you were saying, if I had a truck, I wouldn't want a red truck. And then the person responds to you, I can't believe you would say that. I think trucks are great. And you're like, well, That's not what I said at all. And so that's the thing that gets frustrating is you can't get to the Final Four. You're in a group of four teams, one of which went away for 4 years, that haven't been to a conference championship in that time. And so when you get the response of only one team can win the Super Bowl, it's frustrating because I'm like, that's not even the standard. You're not even being asked to do that. You're being asked to make it to the Final Four. That's it. I know then we have dreams beyond that, but like, you're not being asked to ace the test. You're being asked once every, I don't know, 8 years to get a B plus.
By the way, I would want a black or silver truck, Kevin.
That's fair. Trucks are great.
Yeah, I love trucks.
You got a heart like a truck.
I do have a heart like
really?
A truck.
Really disappointed you kind of half-assed that.
I know. I didn't want to scream. But I know that I'm not a Cowboys fan anymore. Like, they do not affect me emotionally. I don't care if they win. I don't care if they lose. Like, I'm done. I'm divorced from the Dallas Cowboys.
I still get worked up. And I'm not telling you
come to my side. I'm not, if you're listening right now, I am not, if you are a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan, I'm not telling you what I'm doing is the right thing or the wrong thing by divorcing myself from the people that I believe don't care about winning. But I don't want to say that he doesn't care at all. I just don't think it's the highest priority
sure.
of owning the team is winning.
Did you see even Florio yesterday? Lord knows I've not always been the right. biggest fan of Mike Florio. He repeated that. He repeated that like you'd be surprised at the size of the check that I would write. Mike Florio wrote in his article on Pro Football Talk and he goes, I do think people would be surprised about how small it would be. As opposed to how big it would be.
Yeah. He desperately wanted a salary cap when he was 17th in spending for players. Just so you know, the last year before the cap came in, I remember reading this article a few years ago. It was the Vikings and the 49ers who were paying the most money for their team, for their players, until the salary cap came in. Jerry saw that he was about to have to go to the Minnesota Vikings and San Francisco 49ers somewhat payroll structure and quickly put in a deal where he would never have to do that. But I just look at it. It's frustrating to me because so my son is like, why, dad, come on, just be a Cowboys fan with me. My 16-year-old.
That's probably tough to ignore.
Yeah. And I'm like, Jake, I'm not going to do it. He's not. And I can't say what I want to say. So I'll just stop what I was about to say. I was smart enough at least to stop right there so I don't get called into the office. Is I look at it and I go, I cannot root for him. I can't.
Yeah.
And so I think we saw a little bit of other things from him yesterday. And I do think it hurts his heart that he's tried it his way for 30 years and he doesn't even get close. And so that's the deal as he looks at it, because he's like, hey, you guys come to these meetings. You guys would be genius. I'm going to be honest. I think I'm smarter than Jerry Jones in football.
Just for the record, I've legitimately asked Stephen Jones multiple times if I could sit in on one of their cap sessions.
And here's where I'm smart enough to know, as I think my father told me, it was Gene Mock who used to say this, former manager in baseball for a long time. It's too bad he doesn't know what he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Jerry doesn't actually know how to be a general manager of a football team, but he doesn't know that.
Yeah.
I think there's a part of his heart deep down inside that he knows he's not good at this because of the results over after losing Jimmy and Jimmy pulling all the strings to start off their career. And I give Jerry, that's the greatest thing he ever did was fire Tom Landry and hire Jimmy Johnson. As tough as that is to hear from, let's say, fans of the Dallas Cowboys who are 55 or older, because Tom Landry was finished as a good football coach. It happens to everybody. In fact, if Bill Belichick becomes the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys, I'm afraid you're hiring Tom Landry in 1991. And you're like, crap, he was great. But this game evolves so much. I don't know if Bill Belichick isn't Tom Landry 1991. Like, are you sure you want to hire him? Like, did you see how bad it went at the end? Do you remember how, maybe you're not old enough, do you know how bad it was 1986 through 1988 with Tom Landry?
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually not old enough for some of that there.
But it was terrible.
He was horrible. But he's one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. I'm not taking that away from him. Bill Belichick is arguably the greatest.
I will say Bill Belichick, listening to him and Peyton Manning on the Manning cast is fun.
Yeah.
Because it's two guys, they're looking at it and they're like, they're throwing down. They know what is happening. Just looking at the field, they can see it. It's fascinating to hear that perspective. I understand what you're saying about the creativity of the game and how much it changes. They still understand the real concepts of the game, and they see that part of it. And it for him, and you hear it from the Cowboys right now, it's attention to detail is what separated Belichick from everybody else.
But anyways, that's my time for Mike Likes It, and it wasn't too much of Likes It. I'm frustrated for my son. I'm frustrated for you guys. Yeah. I'm frustrated for the Cowboy fans who keep sticking with this guy, even though he's not going to change, and he has no clue how to put together a championship team. My opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's why, look, I understand everything you're saying. I think that's why tensions sometimes run so high for me or for Corey, because like I just can't stop loving the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm not telling you.
Yeah.
And he knows that there's a billion people out there that will do it, that makes them a $10 billion franchise.
And they frustrate me all the time, but I'm there. I'm watching or I'm listening. Hell, in Vermont, I made sure, I was like, can we make sure to pause at 4:25 because we were East time zone to make sure to watch the game. And so.
Hold on. So you just said that you paused at 4:25 because that was the time zone you were in when the other day Dak threw an interception or a touchdown in two different time zones or two different days, and you said, nope, time zone.
Is that when the time zone I was in?
That's interesting.
I care about the time zone I'm in. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
How many quarterbacks are that good right now? Plus, how do those trades affect their teams? Next on The Fan.